This is Getting Stoned, the podcast about all things gems and minerals. I'm your host, Jonna Kreider. Today on Getting Stoned, I have my friend Adam Stevens. So, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. It's a different part of the world to you, but our world is quite a small place, really, in the big picture. Yeah.
So you're where, in the UK?
I'm in the UK. I'm in England, yep.
That's cool. I'm here in Louisiana.
Wow.
Cold and rainy. We're having London weather now.
Oh, well, I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, we normally have the super hot and humid weather, but in the winter we get a break from that.
I've been there in the summer. It's oppressive, to say the least. It's hot, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, drink plenty of water.
Oh, yeah. I went there, it must be 15 years ago, and I remember seeing people walking slowly, and I was thinking, why are these people walking so slowly? And then when I got out of the airport and I looked around, I was like, now I understand why these people are walking slowly. It's like that hot and that
it's like
humid.
We're walking through molasses.
Yeah, I was like, wow, yeah, how do people live like this?
Yeah. You know, everybody has their own climate where you all get used to.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Acclimatized. Yeah.
So what's your favorite stone?
Oh, my gosh. What a question. There's so many. It's like asking, like, who is your favorite family member? I mean.
Right?
How do you answer that? I mean.
Which kid is your favorite?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are so. I think if you're going to pin me down to just one, which is what you're doing, I think it probably would be as an actual stone. I'm going to bend it slightly. I think probably iron pyrite is my favorite with respect to the form of it, of the simplicity. In terms of actual stone. Oh my gosh, maybe granite because of the number of minerals that it contains.
And granite is fascinating. You can do so much with granite.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a really difficult question to answer, by the way. Yeah.
Okay, so what's your top 10 stones that you can think of that just come to your mind that are favorites?
Top 10 stones. Wow.
Hey, I'm trying to, you know, I'm working with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I get it. Oh my gosh. That's difficult. I mean, it's... I think I like emerald. I think that's... I love the colors of that, the way that that reflects the light. Diamond, certainly, I think. But not for the reasons most people would. I like the... I think it's amazing, the crystalline structure. I think that's pretty cool. That's something people don't often understand. They just kind of look at it. I think topaz as well is kind of cool in the way that it's distributed throughout the world. Amethyst is up there as well. I think sapphire, I think I would say. I'm just trying to think of the ones that I do like. And try and discard the ones that I don't like. But to name 10, is kind of difficult. you know, just off the cuff. Because I kind of focus in on the ones that I really like. But yeah, I mean, that's... I can't give you 10. I can't give you 10 straight off.
I probably couldn't either. I think...
Oh, well, yeah. Thanks.
Because there's too many. That
yeah,
like...
that's what I'm saying.
And every time I find a new stone, I'm like, oh, this is my favorite. And I'm like, well, dang, I have a lot of favorites.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, that's what I mean. It's like, you know, that's an even more difficult question than the other one. So, yeah, that's, yeah. They all have their perks and beauty in different ways and for different reasons as well, you know.
Yeah, amethyst is known as the gem of sobriety.
Right.
Legend associated with that, you know.
Yeah.
They would say back in the day, they would just put an amethyst in your mouth, and then when you drink, you won't get drunk, you know. And I don't think, that would be smart, because if you're getting a little bit too intoxicated, you might choke on the stone,
Yeah,
you know?
I'm yet to see the evidence for this.
Yeah.
I kind of I like the concept, and if it worked, that's fine. But I'm not convinced as yet. But that said,
Right, me neither.
I don't know if anybody has done a study on this yet. So.
Think so. I don't think so. But I mean, we could just like get drunk together holding amethyst and see what happens, you know?
It's a possibility.
Drunk tweet while, holding an amethyst, and then just like everybody could, like, I don't know, tell us how we acted if we don't remember or something.
Yeah, I think it would need to be recorded.
We would have to get like really wasted though. Like really just tore up.
It sounds like a plan for at some point. Yeah, we can do that.
I tell you a story. I had a this was years ago when I was living in Atlanta, and I went over to a friend's house, and he was like, he was just one of those cool people, like you can just crash at his house and get drunk with, and then not do anything like that, but just kind of just like sleep it off or whatever. And I had like a rough week at work, and he was working on a vodka, I was working on a tequila. And somehow I downed a fifth of tequila, entire big bottle of tequila, and in the one sitting. And I did not get hungover.
So it's
And
good
I did,
tequila, right?
yeah, a fifth of tequila, did not get hungover, but I did cook everything in his house.
Right. Okay. So.
I cooked everything. It gave me the munchies, but I did not get hungover. And I was completely buzzed for like the next 48 hours. So it was like the best sleep and the best food ever.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not entirely convinced I would want to do that, but I'm
I'm
glad you
never doing
did.
that again. It's a miracle I survived that,
Yeah,
you know? I think we all have our stories.
I'm not sure I'd want to repeat that experiment, but it sounds interesting for sure.
Yeah, but not going that far. Just taking a few shots and see how tipsy we get while holding an amethyst. It would be cool, like if we could get like a breathalyzer or something, you know, have
Absolutely.
like alcohol measure, and then see what it is. If you drink the same amount of alcohol while holding an amethyst, and then drink the same amount the next day without holding an amethyst.
Yeah, if we're going to do it, then you need to run using scientific method, absolutely, to actually
Oh
do
yeah.
it correctly. Yeah, I completely agree. So yeah, okay, well that's a good plan. That works. Yeah, I'm cool with
Just find somebody with a breathalyzing and, lab work and stuff. Because I don't know anybody with those connections.
Well, you do now. Those are things I can set up, so that's fine. Not a problem.
Oh, sweet.
There
Let's do
you go. So. What else you got?
Well, let's see. Let's talk about pyrite. You know pyrite, since you like that one. Elon
That
Musk actually told me he liked pyrite. I tweeted him in 2018 and asked him what his favorite mineral was.
Oh, really?
And yeah, he said it was iron pyrite. And of course, I've tweeted him a few times saying, "Hey, come on my podcast, Getting Stoned, and tell me why you like pyrite."
Yeah.
But no response yet. But you know how it is. If it happens, it happens. If not, it's cool.
Yeah, okay. So you kind of got me instead of Elon.
Hey, it works, because we could talk about pyrite.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm not quite the same as him, but okay.
But you're still cool. You're awesome. So I
Yeah.
don't think anybody could be Elon, though. I mean,
No.
you got me. You don't have Elon on the podcast. You have me.
Absolutely. That's right. No, I think it's interesting. I like it. People know it as fool's gold, right?
But people know that it's an ore of gold.
Right. But most people don't know the process to actually obtain gold from it, and to, well, not to obtain gold from it, but to obtain iron from it. And iron is super versatile. I'm a lot more into the material science side of things. And I look at it and I'm like, you can do a lot with iron pyrite. And people don't realize that. Okay, you can make some gems with it and so on. That's cool. But people just don't realize how simplistic some of these things are. Some of the minerals are really quite complicated and they're really difficult to find. And that's great. That's cool. But something like the pyrite, it's nice. It's straightforward, and the way that it oxidizes as well. A lot of people don't sort of see that. So to find it in a beautiful state is actually kind of rare. So it's kind of common, but it's also kind of rare. It's kind of paradoxical, if that makes sense. Yeah.
I have some that are that is actually starting to oxidize.
Yeah, and it will do. That's it, it will. But you can, I mean, you could pull the sulfur out of it, and you can. It has a lot of uses. In some, again, it's different minerals that people don't realize that are in every. I mean, even the devices we're using now, electronics. People don't realize the minerals that are used. And I think it's that's something that people should maybe start to understand a little bit more about. As gosh,
And see, this is something I want to learn more about because, I write for Clean Technica,
right.
and some of the stories, we talk about batteries, what goes into a battery and the components. So, I didn't realize, I knew the lithium ion battery was made out of lithium, but at the time, I was like, wait a minute, I have spod. They were because they were talking about spodumene. And I was like, I have spodumene,
Yeah.
and it's not lithium; it's kunzite. And it's just like you're learning. It's so cool to learn.
Yeah, that's it. And a lot of people will just think, minerals are just, a lot of people will just think of them as, they'll probably think of more of what you do, perhaps like the gems and things like that, which is fine. That's a great branch, no two ways about it. But there's a whole other side to it as well, which is what we're doing, which is mining of these. And when you look at, I think quite often in the natural form, so many of these minerals are beautiful, but the way we tend to use them is maybe not sustainable. So we maybe need to move towards, I suppose the term would be like a circular economy to start to reuse the minerals. I mean, like for example, the silver, whilst it's not directly a mineral, well, it's very rarely a mineral. In natural form, it is used in pretty much every electronic device. People are not aware of that. And copper is another one. Copper ore is another one. Even things like quartz or silica, as people would know it, has some amazing qualities. And that's like super powerful. But yeah, I mean, from the way that things are transitioning now, this is a bit more of my realm sort of thing. There's things such as tellurium, which comes from copper ore. You need that for pretty much every single solar panel, and that's obviously, that's a problem if we run out of that. So we kind of need to start to understand how we can maybe be a bit more efficient with those processes of extracting it and using it. Yeah, it's
What are some ways that somebody could be more efficient with the rarer minerals? I mean, because I've covered too, recycling batteries and how like this company or that company is trying to do this or that to recycle a battery or a metal, but that's all abstract. Like, what can the average person besides, oh, okay, I'll take the computer to the guy down the street who recycles it, like besides that, what can the average person do to be more sustainable or efficient with the minerals that we may or may not be aware that we're using in our everyday life?
It's a good question. I think my answer to that is a global one, which is respect to pretty much everything, which is to maybe not to replace things so quickly. For example, I got a new phone. I haven't had a new phone for 5 years. Most people get a new phone every 1 or 2 years. So if everybody, for example, just simply got a new phone every 4 years, not every 2 years, you've immediately halved the amount of resources used in terms of precious metals. So that would be something that very easy that the average person could do, but they might not want to do that. So that would be what the one.
Especially with the marketing,
Oh, the
because
marketing is
Apple,
strong.
Apple is always like, oh, we're all sustainable, but buy our new
Right,
iPhone.
every single year comes out, and so that's a good example.
If Apple were to say, hey, if Apple really cared about sustainability, they would say, hey, look, we're going to stop producing a new iPhone every year and start doing it every other year.
Yeah. So that would be an immediate effect that would have, because, you know, there are, I don't know the numbers, but it's going to be in the billions of Apple products, you know, whether it's iPhones or iPads or whatever, that are bought new every single year. So
because they can afford to do that, you know, they're thinking about profits and stuff, but they can afford to do that.
They can. And their new chip that they've come out with, the Apple M1, is a lot more efficient. It does use a lot less, uses a lot less energy, which is a good thing, but it also uses less raw material, which is good as well. So these things, but yeah, to answer your question, the simplest answer is people can simply just hold on to items for a little bit longer to preserve the minerals that we've got until we get to the point where we have more efficient processes that actually reach the main market, because we're still really kind of in infancy. If you look at throughout human history, it's only now that we're really starting to understand how to use minerals for other purposes, really beyond just simply looking at them or thinking that they're going to do something, e.g. keep us sober, right? which we can't prove or disprove necessarily yet, but we can certainly prove that we use a hell of a lot of copper, right? You know, and everything electronic, yeah, and wiring and cables and things like that. So there's those sorts of things, I think, that we can be looking at. So awareness is certainly one of the things that we can start to do. And that's something that people could go, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I can kind of get that. But we started to do that already. That has to, again, it's incentivized. We used to use tungsten a lot. Tungsten comes from...
I remember seeing a lot of tungsten jewelry on the market.
Yeah, well, the jewelry, every light bulb was tungsten, or pretty much every light bulb was tungsten. It's incredibly dense. I think it's 400% more dense than titanium. But that comes from, I think wolframite, which is, it's abundant, but it's not abundant if we get rid of it. And until the point that we start to, mine from asteroids, which is inevitable, we have to be careful. Those sort of things. So some things are happening anyway, and they're being driven by industry. Some things are not. I think the jewelry market is not of a concern with respect to using up minerals, but I think with industry it is, where you talk about clean technica and things like that, as batteries, for example, that's going to start to become something where we're going to need to go, yeah, okay, we know.
I do know the jewelry market does have its own carbon footprint, because, you know, it's so gem and mineral heavy, especially on the gems. And
yeah,
for mining, especially diamonds. And I wrote an article on Clean Technica about this company I found out called Sky Diamonds. And they actually, what they do, they take carbon emissions from the air and make synthetic diamonds with it, which I thought was pretty badass.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You know, it's the whole mining industry is so harsh on our planet. And, you know, like the jewelry industry, if there is a way we could offset that or somehow give back to the planet besides just planting trees, that's great. But planting trees is not going to help the coastlines that's affected by the mining industry, you know?
Yeah, it's a nice gesture, but it's not going to do anything. It's like saying, let's cut down a million apple trees and plant a million orange trees. Well, it doesn't replace the apples. It doesn't work.
It doesn't, exactly. You know?
So that doesn't work. But yeah, it's problematic to say the least, I think, as these things grow. But yeah, I think it's reusing minerals as well. It's something, and I think that perhaps is moving more towards it, and with these marketplaces that now exist that didn't maybe a decade ago, things like Etsy, for example, that's a great thing that moves it away from these large organizations that really do have, you know, either a monopoly or similar.
I find all kinds of cool minerals on Etsy. I got This is one of my favorites. It's highlight opal. It's a very rare type of opal that has uranium in it, and it's just enough uranium in it to make it glow.
Right. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, but it's perfectly safe to handle.
Yeah.
Research I've done, and I'm not 100% certain on this, but just from what I can tell, it's the way the opal is formed, it prevents the uranium from decaying.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. And I think that's something that, again, it's a bit more material sciencey, but when you look at structures of these things, yeah, you can get elements which are not stable on their own, but in minerals they are completely stable and they're completely safe. Whereas if you had pure uranium, some of the isotopes really were, well, it wouldn't be a good idea for you to sell them, put it that way.
It wouldn't be a good idea for me to get them in the mail.
No, I think
If
that I think not.
I were sitting on my shelf, yeah, I'd be like, oh yes, I got some uranium just sitting there.
Yeah, I don't know the full rules of the United States Postal Service, but I'm guessing you can't mail uranium as an ore, in its raw form. I think that would be
Oh
problematic.
no, I wouldn't even like that would be scary,
Yeah,
to get in.
so I think that would.
Gonna say goodbye to my fingernails.
Yeah, and probably a lot of the other parts of you as well that you
Yeah.
probably value. So,
Yeah. Say goodbye to my lungs, everything. Just
yeah, I mean, yeah, it would be quite antisocial, I think. So that would not,
that's one way of putting it.
yeah. So it would not be good. But yeah, it's interesting because people are starting to become aware of more and more of the resources. I think 2020 did that. That there's this kind of transition that, there's this kind of hobby or small business market out there. That's great. But now it's like, wow, there's always electric vehicles and they all need stuff for batteries. And then there's like everybody's got all these electronic devices. And it's like, whoa. And what's this going to do? Is this going to drive up the cost of this? Or is it going to decrease the quality or the way that we treat the people that actually go and mine these materials as well? So,
Right.
it's all of these sorts of things. Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother rabbit hole when you get into the morals and ethics of those things. But I mean, you'll know about all that from the diamond mining sort of it stuff. But I read something interesting actually on, I think it was one of your blogs actually, it was something you ordered from somebody in India. I read, I found that was interesting. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It was quite interesting mineral. And I did.
Was it a diamond or a morganite?
I'm trying to remember. That's the one you'll have to answer, because I'm trying to remember exactly. It was interesting. It was I went down a bit of a, I ended up scrolling and reading through the pages on it. I was like, yeah, this is quite interesting, actually. I was like, yeah, this is not just about Mohs scale of hardness and things that I know about. I was like, oh, it's a whole nother world here. I was like, this is kind of cool. But it's interesting because there's different minerals in different parts of the world that people are not aware of, completely blind to it. And it's like, some of these things have got amazing industrial uses, and some of these things have got amazing uses for all sorts of other things as well, be it jewelry.
I think I remember which one you're talking about, the moissanite, because that's a because I've got morganite from India, I've gotten a diamond from India, and moissanite is my most recent gem that I bought from India, and I got that over the summer. And that's a it's a synthetic moissanite, but the original stone came from a meteorite.
Ah, that's it. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So that's what sparked my interest, because then you've got something which was contained with inside a meteorite. So it's like, cool, okay, that then that was what popped my attention. So
And the cool thing about that is that it's part of a mineral. It's there's a mineral called carborundum.
yep.
I think I'm saying that right. And that's also man-made here, but they have a space. It was originally found in space as part of
Yeah,
meteorite.
inside a
And
meteorite. Yeah, I've read about that one.
they were saying the crystals for carborundum are called moissanites.
Yeah, that's it. And that I think that's what sparked my interest, because we look at that and I think we've only in the media, well, I say media, if you look in scientific literature, you can probably find a little bit more about these things. But it's like, you know, we've only started to really, like, no pun intended, but, well, actually pun intended, scratch the surface of different minerals that are extraterrestrial. And I am pretty sure, I don't have any evidence, that there must be millions of minerals that we don't know about that are kicking around in space. You know, and that's when we start to get to that point of sort of asteroid mining and things like that. I mean, even things on the moon, we're going to find things that would just not exist.
I actually have a mineral in my collection that was originally found on the moon now. I managed to, it's called Tranquilityite.
Okay.
And in 1969, I believe, it was during the Apollo missions. I don't remember which trip it was, but they brought back several minerals samples from the moon. And one of these minerals they identified in a lab. Well, they didn't identify it. They named it Tranquilityite because it was found in the Sea of Tranquility on the moon. And there was no known mineral on Earth.
Perfect. Wow.
Matched that position. But they found in 2011 six deposits in Western Australia, the same mineral that was on the moon. But it was found first on the moon. And it's pretty rare. And I had a friend of mine, I actually interviewed him for Getting Stoned, and he sent me one. He sent me a big chunk.
Yeah.
It broke off. It had two pieces break off. So I'm selling two of them as jewelry. And as far as I can tell, my jewelry with the Tranquilityite is the only one on the market as of right now with Tranquilityite jewelry. Mm.
Wow.
That's how rare.
That's good.
When
yeah.
I did the search.
Yeah, so that's amazing.
Selling it, but I mean, or doing something with it. But I just, it's like so cool. Like, I have a moon mineral in my collection. It's actually in my pocket.
Yeah, so that's a rare one. So that's exactly the sort of thing that I'm talking about. You know, it's these sorts of things. It's like, you know, what can we find next? You know, and I, you know, I will refer back to, you know, battery technology, because that's something which is becoming more and more relevant, and because of what you do as well. You know, and these minerals that we're using in batteries, it's like, okay, that's cool, but maybe there's some more. Maybe there's some that we don't know about yet that are going to be a lot more efficient, a lot cheaper, and so on. So at the moment, we don't really know. We haven't really explored that much of what's on our planet. It's like, and that just kind of gives me a bit of pause for thought, I guess. Yeah.
You know, there's this company. It's called Deep Green Metals. And I interviewed the CEO for Clean Technica last year.
Yeah.
And they mine the Pacific. They try to do it as sustainably, as ethically as possible without harming anything. And they sent me a sample.
Okay.
Of what the little nodules. And it's so cool looking. But they get it from the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. So I'm just like, wow.
Right.
You know. Right. And it has, like, I forgot the mineral composition. I have to go back and look. But I think it has, like, nickel. It doesn't have lithium in it, but it has nickel, iron, and maybe manganese or magnesium, one of those.
Yeah.
Probably magnesium, yeah. Not manganese.
And that's exactly my point, is that we know more about parts of the moon than we do about the bottom of our oceans and what is there, you know. And so that's you've hit it perfectly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So a company like that, that's fascinating. I'd be interested in finding out a bit more about that, about what exactly they're doing and what they found. That's exciting.
Well, their goal was just to get the minerals from the bottom of the ocean because it's more sustainable and better for the planet to get it from there than it is to go in and do it from a mine.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can believe that. When some of the mines are super deep and in parts of the world where we don't treat people particularly well, and so on. You know, I mean, cobalt mining, for example, is happens a lot in the practices in, I suppose, in the parts of Africa. Organizations like Amnesty International get involved, and kind of say, hey, this is kind of not really the way that we should be doing this and so on.
Yeah. I really wish, like, the Congo would just, like, abolish the child slavery.
Right. Come, yeah.
You know, Tesla's, I mean, the company that Tesla uses, I think it's Glencore.
Yeah.
One of their mines has been overrun by artisanal miners. And it's the artisanal miners that use the slaves, you know, like, and I even like, because I was writing an article about it, and Glencore basically said in court, they basically said, hey, like, our mine has been taken hostage. We cannot access that mine or the minerals in it. You know, but yet everybody was giving Tesla and them hell because of the child slavery when that their mind was taken hostage. Like, I mean, what can you do?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's it. So it's that's it. That's where we need kind of another solution to these things, a better solution. I think that's what I'm kind of hinting at. So yeah, that's it. But yeah, and then that goes back to your point is, you know, how are we going to recycle these batteries? Okay, there's companies are going to be doing this. That's fine. But that's going to become a real problem in a decade or so. Yeah, it's sort of, you know, what is the most efficient way of doing that? And there are answers, but none of them are perfect. Far from it. So it starts to get into the point of, are there minerals out there that we don't really know about that well from respect of inorganic minerals that we could be using that maybe will have double the lifespan, for example, or we can recycle using, you know, 10% of the energy, something like that. I don't know. But I think we're starting to move towards that. I think that's, you know, like the cars are kind of there already. It's kind of like, what are we going to, now we've got a new problem.
Well, I do have hope because there's so many different innovative people and companies, you know, that are actively trying to find these type of solutions.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's a race. There's no two ways about that. And it makes sense. But yeah, I mean, I think Tesla had, I can't, maybe it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I can't remember. But there was, they did, they, I think they publicly did say, hey, look, you know, there's a bit of a concern with the shortage of minerals in some respects. Not all minerals, so a lot of them are very abundant, but more about sort of saying, hey, you know, we're going to have a bit of a problem in the future. We need to help, you know, or we're going to have some concerns. And at the moment, I think really China is the biggest producer of the vast majority of minerals. I mean, yeah, okay, people think lithium when they talk about batteries, but that doesn't make up much of the battery, as you know.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it more than lithium. I think Elon said nickel was on Battery Day. He was talking about nickel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, nickel is not particularly difficult to find, but to mine it, yeah, I mean, I think the Philippines, I think is the biggest exporter of nickel. But again, comes back to how ethical is that? How sustainable is it? How much is that?
I do know, like, nickel. I've had people tell me, you know, they can't wear nickel jewelry, and you know, you have to be careful.
With, like, the reaction, when, you mean? Is that what you, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And nickel is a lot of the cheaper findings is like little things like ear hooks and chain hooks and the little loops that clink together. I forgot what they're called.
Yeah,
Jump rings. That's what I'm thinking of. Jump rings. So, like, a lot of these little things, like, you would see in any store, most of those are made of nickel. And they're having to switch to steel because there's so many people having problems with nickel. And so I have to be very careful. And whenever I use, like, if I make something with copper and then I put, like, a silvery looking jump ring or something with it, I have to make sure, like, is it a jump ring that I made or did I buy it from the store? And if I bought it from the store, what's it made from? Because nickel, a lot of people have problems with nickel. But nickel stuff is so cheap. Like, stuff made from nickel is a lot cheaper than it is with stainless steel. So it makes you wonder, is nickel really that expensive to sell?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the point that I'm getting at is what is best also the cheapest and the most abundant. And it's unlikely that all of those criteria are going to be satisfied. as such. So I don't know, and that's where I start to run into these problems, which is, can it be sustainable? Can it be ethical? And so on. It's somewhat divergent from the point about minerals explicitly, but it's still highly relevant with this.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and so that's where I need to start to look at these things. I mean, there are minerals out there that are super abundant, and it's never a problem, like quartz, which, has been used for,
Course, everywhere. Yeah.
I mean, it's used in, jewelry, for example, but it's found in granite so easily, and but it has those.
It's used in electronics too.
Yeah, because it has the piezoelectric properties, so you can rotate the polarization of light, or sorry, rotate the plane of polarization of light, so you can kind of make it vibrate and do all kinds of things and squash it, and it spits out electrons and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's useful, which a lot of other minerals won't do. So it's got some properties, but there are other minerals that can do it. But maybe there's some better ones we haven't found yet. That's what excites me. I'm like,
Yeah, no wonder, could it be on Mars or on the moon, like you said, in the asteroids, like there's definitely other celestial bodies that we can get minerals from.
Oh, yeah.
Focus on developing the technology and do it sustainably, and we're getting there.
I think so. I think it would be naive to think that we've only been exploring this technology for a couple of 100 years, really.
Yeah.
And to think how long the solar system has been around, even just our solar system, and then you look in a galaxy and things like that, to suggest that there are not elements out there, and then in turn minerals out there, and in what different forms of allotopes out there that we don't know about. There's going to be a lot. There must be. So it's exciting, as to what we will find. The race is on. How soon can we find these things, and then what can we use them for? But I think we will have many uses for these things as we go.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, certainly. Battery tech is a big one. It's a hot topic. No two ways about it. But yeah.
And I'm learning about it, and I used to like, I would just see myself, oh, I'm just an artist. I don't really like understand the science of something, for example, battery technology. But it's learning, and I'm enjoying the learning process.
Learning is the fun. That's the fun.
Yeah, it really is.
That's the fun. When you know it, it's not so exciting. Using it might be, actually using it, practical applications of it. But when you learn about it, it's amazing.
Yeah, well, my mentor always told me never stop learning. Like he would always say, there's really no such thing as a master, because a master means that you've stopped learning. Being a master means you've stopped learning, and the best way to be is always to be a student of life.
Oh, completely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, this topic that we're talking about, I'm an amateur. I just said I find these things fascinating, which I do. And I find them fascinating because for probably different reasons to you, because they power the world that we use to talk to each other, and they power our cars and our electronics, and our refrigerators and our microwaves and everything.
That's
Is power
true.
is powered by minerals, like everything. Most people have no idea. And then even before that, on a biological level, there are minerals that we need, or we die.
Yeah.
And people don't know that. They might be aware of it, but they don't know what they are. But they're super important. Without these, it's game over. So
You need those bin, like your body has to have a certain amount of copper. And as you know, our bodies have gold in them too.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Our bodies have a certain, a minute amount of gold in them, and copper, zinc, all of those.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And some displace others as well. Yeah. So if you've got a certain amount of one mineral, it will displace the zinc. So it's a very finely tuned mechanism that nature's kind of worked out on its own. And you see it in different
So
animals.
crazy.
You see it in different animals as well. Some of the, particularly some of the deep sea creatures also that we've sort of brought back up. They've sort of got mineral compositions that we've never seen before. And that's only in the last 50 years, I guess. Maybe less than that. So it's yeah, it's a huge topic. Put it that way.
Yeah, you mentioned zinc, and that just reminded me I need to buy it because every time I go to the store, they're out of zinc here, and I'm like, oh, I have to buy zinc online, and I keep forgetting.
Yeah, with the I don't know if it's the same for you with the COVID thing. Like everybody's like, take zinc, take vitamin C, take vitamin D. Yeah. What sort of thing?
I'm taking the D, Z, and zinc because I had it last year. I had it in March before the testing became available, and there's another supplement I took with those three that helped me get over it because I have asthma, so I had like the lung problem part.
Yeah.
I couldn't even like walk around the house without having severe breathing problems.
Wow.
And I was like, I couldn't, like my chest hurt. Everything was just hurting really bad. So I started taking, the doctor was like, really, you have COVID and there's nothing we could do. If you get worse, we'll put you on a ventilator, but hopefully, you know, maybe if you just start taking your vitamins and look into alternative medicines, you know, like, because what can you do when there's no cure to something like that? You know, just you. So I was like, well, you know what? My part is my lungs. Let's see what I can do to strengthen it. And I started researching traditional Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
And one of the herbs had this molecular structure called a supplement called NAC, which is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but it's N-acetylcysteine. And short the NAC. And once I researched that, and they're like, oh, they use this for COPD and asthma. I was like, wait, I have to try this. And I mean, I got it, and within 24 hours, my breathing improved dramatically. Like, and now I take it like as a supplement every day.
Yeah.
And I haven't had bronchitis since I had COVID. And I usually get bronchitis like 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you know, the use of these things, and this is it. A lot of people talk about it as alternative medicine. Just through my work, I kind of don't really like that term. I prefer complementary, because it kind of complements what we have in our modern medicine. So you can kind of put two together. So you kind of got the alternative medicine, which we don't talk about so much in the Western world. But if you complement it as well, you can get some fantastic results. Like, you know, if you get in a car accident, you don't want something from some bizarre herb or whatever. So
I'm going to want some morphine.
You want the strong, yeah. The morphine, it's like, give it to me and give me as much as possible. That's what you want, right? You know, cool. But, you know, when you're talking about these other sorts of things, as you described, yeah, let's look at some other things. So these things can kind of fit in nicely. And a lot of this stuff, you know, is mineral based. It is. But people don't understand that. They don't look at it. You know, most people have no clue what it
was. Not just mineral, but plant based, too. A lot of people don't realize aspirin comes from the willow tree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Willow bark.
Yeah, I mean, that's divergent somewhat to what we're talking about. But yeah, I mean, the vast majority of modern medicine comes from plants and from the Amazonian rainforest and so on, which we're destroying.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, at a crazy rate, you know, to do what? In part, to mine for minerals, you know, so it loops back around. So, you know, we've got a solution now for the needs that we have for the minerals, but in, you know, 50 years, a couple of centuries, who knows? And that's why the race is really on. It's like, this really is, there's not a large amount of time to find sensible solutions, or we might not run out of minerals, but we'll run out of rainforest, or we'll run out of something else. And it's all a kind of everything's kind of a seesaw, like a sort of balance. And so we've got to be careful with this. So, yeah.
And I think that's why, too, Elon is really pushing the whole, like, moving to Mars thing, because at least once he gets, like, that Mars settlement set up, we can mine Mars and use the minerals there for things that we need here without having destroying Earth.
Yeah, and then that's actually a really important point. You know, a lot of people, I think, the sort of average person on the street, so to speak, would probably go, why want to move to Mars because we're destroying Earth? Is it kind of an escape? It's like, no, actually, Mars can help Earth, and the moon can help Earth.
Yeah, Mars can help save Earth.
Yeah, so again, it goes back to it. It's not alternative, it's complementary. And that's like super important, like to like make that point, you know. So that's kind of how I would look at it. But I don't think people fully understand that yet. But I mean, I think people don't understand the whole mission and Elon as well. So that's probably part of it also, I think. That's a whole different thing. But we need to get all of these things together and people to explain it. So maybe that's something you could write about to help educate people.
Yeah, most definitely. Good idea. I'm jotting that down now.
It probably need a bit of research, but I'm sure I'd be happy to help, and I'm sure as many other people who would as well if we want to help with that. But I think that's the sort of thing that we need to start thinking about is those sorts of things. We've got to start to think about them now. We need to be proactive, not reactive to these sorts of things. Because it's the same with you loop right back and you look at the diamonds, for example, what drives that. Yeah, okay, in part there's organizations involved and cartels, whatever, but part of it is demand and supply. They're just not found abundantly. If granite is not worth as much, or quartz, which is found in granite, it's not worth as much as diamond because it's just so much more abundant. Nobody's going to, be able to demand a high price for quartz.
The thing about it is with diamond is nothing but carbon, and we have way too much carbon.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. And we can make it synthetically now, it doesn't really, the value will decrease. It's really, again, this is when you look at the sort of history of money, it's only really gold and silver that really, in terms of precious metals, that really have retained their value for as long as we have used an actual currency as such. It's only really those two.
It's always been about the gold. Like, even currency was based on gold. You know?
Yeah. And now you look at it again, gold and silver, where are they used? Well, silver is used in every single electronic device that we've got. And gold is used in the vast majority of them as well. And so that we're not making any more of it. And so that's a problem in itself again. So it's kind of, where do we go from here with these sorts of things? I think people could do with some education on perhaps what we're trying to do with these explorations to start to talk about mining and looking at getting minerals from other sources, be it lithium or graphite or cobalt or nickel or whatever it might be. Some of those are not obliquely minerals in themselves, but the minerals are in them. And if we can find better places, incentives will drive that. We're probably still a decade away from that, but a decade is not long. A decade is sooner than if we start to have problems in the next decade, which I think we will.
The way time is flying, it's crazy how fast time is just getting.
The rate of change is incredible, absolutely incredible. And I think, I think people don't really realize that as to how fast that's happening. So,
Before you know it, it'll be the end of 2021.
I'm kind of cool with that. I'm all right. If it's going to be like 2020, I'm okay with that. No.
Well, we're out of 2020, thank God.
Yeah, I didn't really like it. Yeah. To be completely honest, and a lot of people might dislike me for saying this, but I actually had I'd say it's pretty good 2020, actually. I met some.
Anybody who survived 2020, I think, had a
good time. I was going to say, I ticked the first box, which was survive it. So by that, it was a success. And then I met a bunch of cool people, including yourself. So that's another bonus. And it's like, cool. And there's a lot of positives which have come out of it as well. And one of these is acceleration of, transition towards more sustainable lifestyle on every aspect. And you look at the World Economic Forum, their goals, a lot of that actually, there's a big subset on their website which talks about mining and mineral technology as well, and mining technology, and how we can start to improve that. So it's, there's a lot more than just for electric vehicle batteries. I think that's the point that I'm getting at. there's just simply a lot more electronic devices out there. There's the
than just your phones and computers, like this, you know, anything that you can plug in.
Yeah.
Or even not even plug in, anything that is battery operated that counts. Like I have this this flashlight that it's a UV flashlight for just to, you know, make the stones that fluoresce glow. And that requires a lithium battery. It has to be a lithium, the way it's made, it just requires a lithium battery.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And you're seeing these things everywhere. Even light bulbs, for example, something as simple as light bulbs. We used to use tungsten filaments, right? They used to last a long time, but they use a lot of electricity, and they created light through incandescent heat. So it got so hot that it emitted light. It's like, okay, kind of like the sun emits light that way, and it's like, okay, that's cool. And now we've moved towards LED lights pretty much everywhere, which is like, okay, they use a lot less electricity. But if you ask the average person, you know, what is actually being used to make an LED, which is a light emitting diode, what's actually in it? Well, most people have no idea what is actually in there, but it's got a semiconductor in there. Well, semiconductors are almost exclusively minerals. And so what have we done? We've solved one problem and caused another. And that's, again, so it's the same thing. So there has to be better solutions to these things that we're looking at. Yeah, I think that's...
I agree. We definitely have a lot of work to do. The human race does, collectively.
Yeah. The options have limited appeal, I think. I think the kind of way that I would sort of almost conclude this as such is, you know, we need this planet to survive, but this planet does not need us. Does not need us at all.
But we need it. If we want to survive, we need this planet to survive.
Yeah, at the moment, there's not a plan B. Well, there might be a plan B, but we don't have the option B at this time. That's the problem. So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on here to talk to me about stones and minerals, and I liked how the conversation turned. You know, this is really, to me, this is all about gems and minerals, and that encompasses everything that those are used for and provides me a learning opportunity, you know?
Well, good, I'm being very frank about it. Gems and things like that, it's not of interest to me, but I know a lot more about the applications of what minerals might be used for in industry and so on. But the idea of me wearing one of those things or using it as jewelry is less probable. I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule it out, but
I know, but I just like the way you phrase it. It was funny.
But I didn't mean it to be funny, but I'm just being genuine. It's like, I wouldn't rule it out. I'm just saying, I'm just looking at this overall as a holistic approach to this and going, right, okay, so gems, there's a big sector there. Minerals, there's another big sector there. And that's what it is. So if it's useful for you, some of the things I've said, well, that's cool too. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate you being on here, Adam, and thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for your time.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.